Here's the deal. I've talked to a few of you already, and pretty much the topic is we started new classes and we're really stressed. So before we start, can I pray for you guys?
Yes.
Yeah? All right. Heavenly Father, I know this is a stressful time for students starting a new semester with all new classes, new work, new teachers, new everything. And Lord, as we know, since most of us check out at about May, everything's front-loaded. And so, Lord, I just pray you give our students strength and courage to meet the challenge of this new school semester. And, Father, just reassure them that you're with them and that that this isn't the end of the world, that these classes are there for their benefit, to teach them. And, Lord, I just pray you put them at ease as they ease into this new semester. Lord, I pray you'd help them with their stress. And because these things can really pile up and cause all sorts of angst. So, Lord, I just pray that you would provide peace for our students. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we have a video, but we've played it 3 times in a row, so I didn't tell Caitlin to... It's the same video, right? It's the Q video. Do we want to watch that again?
Yeah.
No, we don't
want to.
Yes?
Yes!
No! Let's not watch it. It's not ready anyway. Okay, so here's... by the way, if you're new, my name's Chris. I'm the youth pastor here, and I'm really happy that you're here with us, because we really love students. That's why we do this. So I also know it's pretty sparse out here. It must be some big event, right? Is there something big going on in schools? I don't know. You asked that already, so that's okay. It's all right. We're good to go. The people who need to be here are here. That's what we prayed for, so there we go. All right. So where have we been? We've been talking about identity. And we have been talking about where we find our identity. We talked a lot about labels, right? How society labels us, parents label us, friends label us, we label ourselves. We just get all these labels. And so sometimes we try to live up to those labels, sometimes we try to run away from those labels. And in the end, what we kind of came down to, and if you weren't here the last couple of weeks, you could actually go online and listen to the talks at on our website, Google Grand Center Alliance Church. There you go, Cold Lake. And you can find it, and you can catch up on them. I think it was really fun. It was really cool. What we did is we took a look at 2 stories from the Bible and how God looks at us differently than we look at ourselves and how other people look at us. I thought it was really cool. And the Bible is really specific, and it says God doesn't look at us the same way as people look at us. Other people, He sees us differently. He sees us for who we really are. And that's scary in one sense, right? And yet, He loves us with a love that we can't even imagine. We're actually going to talk about that a lot more today. And for someone to know you, see, God sees you. You may think that I'm just insignificant or whatever. God knows you. The Bible says that He knows the very amount of hairs on your head. Like, less for some of us, right? God's got it easy with me. Starting to get a little thin up there. So, but he, or like for Connor, like he, like way more. He has to count way more. But that doesn't bother God, right? He knows you so well that He knows how many hairs you have in your head. This just blows me away. He knows me. He can see all the darkness that's in me. He can see all the bad thoughts that I have. He can see all the wrong motivations. He can see all the things that other people can't see. And God loves you more than any person or anyone in this whole world could ever love you, and way beyond that. I think that's just amazing. That blows me away that there would be somebody, because isn't it in your heart? Okay, guys and girls, you guys are, we're doing relationships that honor God starting in 2 weeks, okay? We're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about all sorts of relationship stuff, dating. Isn't something that all of us want deep down is for someone to know us and love us, right? Just think about it. It's not good enough for someone just to know us, right? And it's not just good enough for someone to love us if they don't know us. We want someone to know us and love us for who we are. I think that's a basic need that all of us have. And here's one of the things, and we're going to be talking about in a couple of weeks, is what happens is we try to use relationships with the opposite sex to fill that need that God wants to fill in your life, that God wants to meet that need for you, because God knows you completely. And He loves you more than anyone else ever could. And so that's kind of the gist of where we're going in the next few weeks. And but I think it's important for us to know that there is a being who can see. The Bible says that Everything's we're all naked before him. Like, there's nothing that God can't see. Like, not just your outward body. He can see your inward. He can see everything working. He can see everything. It's crazy, right? And so when God looks at you, he looks at you differently than other people look at you. God looks at you differently than you look at yourself in the mirror. Because we look at ourselves through eyes that are tainted by sin. So when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we often see someone we hate or someone we are really in love with. Right? And hopefully it's somewhere in between there. But there's lots of those extremes. And just so you know, you're not broken, or there's not something wrong with you if you look in the mirror and you really don't like what you see. We're going to delve into that in a couple weeks too. That's the enemy. We have an enemy, guys. And he wants you to be deceived. He wants to deceive you into thinking that you have a different identity than you actually do. If you are a child of God, if you've decided to follow Jesus, you're a Christian, then you have an identity that God's given you. And that's where we've been the last couple of weeks. That's the label that God's given you. Forgiven, loved, son, daughter, like saved, like awesome labels that God gives us. Saint, we went through that list last week, right? You guys remember that? Of all these promises in the Bible, there's like, I don't know, was there 30 of them? Where it just says who you are in Christ. And how, like, was that significant for you guys? I thought it was amazing. Like, that's the promises that God has for you if you're a Christian. If you become a Christian, this is the identity that he gives to you. It's incredible. So you're not defined by what you do or mistakes you've made. We found that out with the woman of the city, which is the story we had 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. And then last week we talked about the prodigal son and the labels that he was given. And he wasn't, that's not how God saw those two characters. You're not defined by your mistakes or your past errors. You're not defined by maybe some of your really strong feelings. Like, some of you guys are really passionate. You have very strong emotions, and some maybe not passionate. Maybe it's like on the other side of it where it's sadness, right? There's some strong sadness and sorrow in you. But you're not defined by those things. Our feelings lie to us. They don't tell us the truth. And so you can't fully, like, feelings are important. We have to understand that. We can't just feel something because we want to, right? Sometimes it just happens, right? They're important, but they're not what guides our life. The truth is, so as Christians, and this is why I picked the small group stuff that you're going through. As Christians, we want God to lead us, we want God to guide us, and we want God's truth to dictate how we live our lives. So, where are we going today? Well, today's talk is entitled, Why Your Identity Matters. Why your identity in Christ matters. Because we could talk about all this stuff, but if we don't tell you, this is why it matters, this is where it hits home, I think we'd be doing you a disservice. So this is why we're going this way. So you can turn in your Bibles. Everybody got a Bible? Yeah. If you don't have a Bible, put up your hand. Darcy will throw one at you. He'll drop one. Okay, so if you have your Bible, you can turn to Romans chapter 8. If you don't know where that is, I will tell you it is on page 679. All right. Everybody got one?
Nope.
Just about? The crew over there needs some Bibles. Okay, Romans chapter 8, page 679. We're going to start right at the beginning. Now, here's how we're going to do this today. You guys need to know that this section of scripture is one of the most masterfully written literary works of art ever. Okay? That's just talking the human part. But what God is saying in this passage is unbelievable. It really is, because it's really, really hard to believe. Because it just blows us away. And so, like, hold on. Let's get into our Bibles. I've got goosebumps. I haven't even started reading it yet. This is incredible. What Paul tells us, Paul is the person who wrote this. Paul was an apostle of Jesus back in the day, and he actually wrote quite a bit of the Bible, the New Testament. but he's writing to the Roman Christians. That's why it's called Romans. And so he's giving them some encouragement, and he's telling them who they are in Christ. And he's saying, there's a few things you need to remember, you need to understand about being a Christian. And so let's get started. The first verse is one of the best verses in the entire Bible. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. This is awesome, you guys. No, what is that? I'm going to dive under something. Is that on the base? Thank you, Darcy. No problem. Maybe there is condemnation. Oh, that's funny. Okay. That totally ruined that passage, but that's okay. No, it didn't ruin the passage. Ruined the setting here. Atmosphere. Here you go. So there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, let's think about this for a second. Have any of you felt condemned? Nobody's felt condemned? You guys know what condemned means?
No.
Like, if you're condemned, it means somebody has accused you of something.
Okay, yes.
And you feel like, and whether you've done it or not, you feel like, what do you feel if someone's accusing you? Guilty, defensive, angry, right? It produces all sorts of emotions in us. Nobody likes to be condemned. So if you're condemned, let's say that you're a murderer, you were condemned, and there's a death penalty, you'd be condemned to die. Like that was your condemnation or the payment for your sin or your breaking of the law would be death. So this is what he's talking about, condemnation. This is a big deal. And here's what you need to know about Satan, who's our enemy, is that the Bible says that Satan stands before the throne of God and accuses the saints. So that means not the Catholic saints. Accuses the saints. When he says saints, he means Christians. So if you're a Christian, you're a saint. There you go. That's what the Bible says. And so he accuses the saints day and night. So if you've ever felt shame, if you've ever felt like, I'm just not good enough, if you've ever felt like that, have you ever felt like that? I think all of us can identify with that, right? Not good enough, I don't measure up, and you just feel, that's condemnation, okay? That's accusation. That's what Satan's job is to do, is that he stands before God and accuses you night and day of every single little thing you've ever done wrong. Every motivation, every thought, everything. He's accusing, 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 accusing. That's why we feel so burdened sometimes. That's why sometimes our heart feels like it's going to burst because of heaviness or blackness or darkness or sorrow or sadness. It's because Satan is standing before the throne of God accusing you night and day. This is why Paul is writing this. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're a Christian, there is no condemnation. So all his accusations are falling flat on the floor, and we're going to read why in a few minutes. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not. So what he's saying is, simply by following God's rules, couldn't save us. We couldn't do it. We couldn't follow God's rules without messing up. So what did he do? He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law, which says, for the wages of sin is death, right? That's what the law says. He did this so that the just requirement of the law might be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Okay, so what is he saying here? Well, there's a few things that we need to take from this little part here. First of all, the reason that we are no longer condemned as Christians, if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, then I would ask you just to listen and kind of go like, is this something I want? Because I think it will be. But listen along, because right now you don't have a defense in front of God if you don't have Jesus, because my good works are no defense for me. It's going to fall flat. My defense is that Jesus, oh, here comes the spoiler alert because it's coming. Jesus is at the right hand of God pleading your case. Like, Jesus is your lawyer. Isn't that good? And he's coming to God the Father and he's like, no, I paid for that sin. I paid for that sin. I paid for that sin. And instead of heaping condemnation on us, you know what Jesus gives us? His righteousness. So we get his righteousness and he gets our sin. And he takes our penalty and was condemned to die. That's why there's no condemnation if you're a Christian. Because Jesus has taken your sins away. He paid the penalty for your sins. He took the condemnation and paid the penalty and died for your sins. That's what he's talking about here. Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. That's why there's no condemnation for us. That's why the accusations of Satan fall flat. Because we have Christ interceding for us. The other thing we can take is right in verse 3. Is that Jesus can identify with us because he was one of us. Here's one of the things that we don't, sometimes we don't clue into. Is that we think God is kind of far off, way off, that he doesn't understand what we're going through. Well, not according to the Bible. Here's what he just said. He just became a man. He became like us. So that means he had emotions. That means he probably had the runs a few times. That means he was very human. He had to go to the bathroom because he was drinking too much water. This is what I was doing all day. Like, he was human. He became human. The Bible says he's fully human and fully God. I don't know how that works, but it's awesome. But this is how we know he can identify with us. 700 years before Jesus was born. Okay, guys, get this, super important. 700 years before his birth, there was a guy named Isaiah who was a prophet. And Isaiah wrote about Jesus in the Bible 700 years before he was born. Really specific stuff about Jesus' life. And one of the things that he called him was the suffering servant. Called him a man of sorrows. So if you're suffering or in pain, guess what? Guess who can identify with you better than anyone on this planet? Jesus. Because he suffered more than any of us ever could. He went through the most excruciating pain known to man. It was the worst death possible at the time. A crucifixion, if you didn't know how he died. Isaiah goes on to say that he was despised and rejected. That he was from God, but we knew him not, it said. We didn't pay any attention to him. In fact, not did we just not pay attention to him. Eventually, the people, the religious people, killed him. Like, they got him to the cross, and they killed him. That's what we did to Jesus. And we can say it's them, but it's us. Because that was God's plan to begin with. It wasn't an accident that Jesus died. That Jesus took our condemnation was the plan to begin with. It's just that the people killing him didn't know that they were actually doing what God was planning. This is what Hebrews chapter 4 says. It says, so then, since we have this great high priest, this is Jesus, who has entered heaven, and a priest, by the way, a priest is someone who intercedes for you, who stands between you and God and intercedes. Like, that's why we don't call ourselves priests, because Jesus is our high priest. We call ourselves pastors, whatever. So Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest, again, this is Jesus, of ours, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we did, yet did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. See, this is an invitation. This is an invitation that when you're going through some hard times, this is where you go. you go to Jesus, because Jesus understands your pain. He understands your suffering. He understands what you're going through, because he went through it all. He was fully human. We don't have a God who doesn't understand our emotions, who doesn't understand who we are. First of all, he created us, and he actually came up with all the functions that your body does, including your mind and your brain and every other organ that you have. He created all of it. He knows, that's how well he knows it. He's the master planner behind it all and the architect. But he also went into that creation and became part of the creation. This is just crazy. Became one of us and experienced full humanity. And so that's why he knows and can identify with you in your pain, in your happiness, in your loss, in your gain. No matter what it is, he can identify with you because he was one of us and experienced it all. And the depth of what Jesus experienced was beyond us. His joy was greater than any one of us will ever have, and so was his suffering. Like, it's just, it's crazy. Okay, let's keep on keeping on here. We're going to just jump ahead a little bit here to verse 9. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. So if you're not a Christian, it's saying you don't belong to Jesus. So this is important for you to understand. And Christ lives within you. This is for those who are Christians. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Like, I don't have time just to explain this whole passage. It's pretty hard to understand some of it, right? But if we can just capture the gist of it, I'll just keep reading, and I'll kind of sum it up for you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Okay, what he's saying is that we've been released from our sin. If you are a Christian, you've been released from it. Does it mean we won't sin again? No, it's not what he's saying. He's saying that sin no longer is our master. So, for me, as I'm reading this, I'm like, really? Because I've dealt with some stuff that I felt like was in control of me. So this is how this works. This is why identity is so important. Is because when we replace Christ let's say our heart has a throne where the king of our life sits, and we'll say that as a Christian, that's where Jesus sits. In your heart, he gets to decide how you live your life. He gets to do that. That's what it means to be a Christian, is that he gets to decide how you live your life, right? He's the king. And so whenever you decide to put something else on that throne, whenever something becomes more important than Jesus to you, that thing or person will now control you. That thing or person will sit on the throne. For instance, if you value popularity over Jesus, then you will eventually compromise your faith in order to stay popular. You'll do things you know you shouldn't do because you want to be popular. Because popularity is actually your God. And so what happens is you become a slave to popularity. You will do anything for that. Okay? So what are some other examples? Sports. So if you're into sports, and this is one I struggled with, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Sports, if you elevate sports is a good thing, right? Popularity is not bad. But if you elevate it to the spot where Jesus is supposed to be, then guess what? You become a slave to it. So you give your body to it. You give your soul to it. And what happens? Like, when sports is done for you, that's it. It's gone, right? It's a like Satan's just given us these big lies. So how about another one? Relationships. So if you value relationships over, if you elevate relationships to a status above Jesus, then you will compromise on the things that you know is right. So we're going to talk about this, so I'll just be really plain. If you're a Christian, and you elevate relationship over your walk with Christ, you will date a non-Christian. That's what happens. When you elevate something to a spot where it shouldn't be, you start going like, well, you start looking for excuses and justification. But you don't need to. What you need is Jesus to be sitting on your throne, because Jesus is the one that gets to decide how we live our lives, because he knows what's best for us. And so when we take him off the throne and we put ourselves in the throne, for instance, we're kind of going like, yeah, I think I know what's best for me. You know, God's not as smart as I am. And so I don't necessarily agree with what he says. So yeah, that's crazy, right? Like, that sounds so arrogant. Kind of telling God that I'm smarter than you is a pretty tough one, right? So when we elevate relationships with the opposite sex, let's just pick on that one for right now. When we elevate that to a spot it shouldn't be, we're willing to do things that we know we shouldn't do. It's in our heart. You know it's there, right? And relationships are, come for the relationship series, because God created relationships and they're a gift for us. Like, he's given us, it's amazing. These relationships that God gives to us are incredible. But all of these gifts that God's given us, when he gives us these gifts, he doesn't want us to elevate over him, because as soon as we elevate the gift over the giver, then we become its slave. So you become a slave to relationships. So you, all of a sudden, you become the person, the guy who's always in need of a relationship. Because you think it's gonna complete you. But it's a lie. It's not. Only Christ can complete you. Only Jesus can. A relationship won't complete you. I don't know if you've seen Jerry Maguire, but that's a lie. You complete me is a lie. Oh, I'm getting into the relationship series. Sorry. But you can't elevate these things above Jesus, because they become your slave driver. And you will do anything and compromise anything to get there. So good grades. Good grades could be your thing. That you're willing to do whatever it takes to get good grades. And so you study your butt off. You're just like, this is my goal in life. And what happens is good grades become a terrible slave driver. You just work your butt off. For what? You know, maybe there's some stuff in the future. But if you're a Christian, God's got your future. That's not something you need to get all crazy about. That your future is in his hands. That's what it means to be a Christian. You've given your life to him. Possessions. Stuff. Gadgets. Phones. Computers. Video games. If we put those things above Jesus, they become our slave masters, and we feel that we got to feed the slave master. So what Jesus is telling us in this passage is we don't have to be slaves to these things. That he's given us a way out. That he has given us an identity, and he has released us from sin. He's paid those consequences. And if you come before God and you confess and you repent of your sin, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive you. So part of what we do on Wednesday nights is hopefully, we go all week and we're in stuff, we're doing stuff, like all of these things are happening, and we come here, hopefully you can go, I need to realign myself with God, because I've been out in the world, I've been crazy stuff, you know, music and movies I've been watching, it's pushing me this way. I need Jesus to kind of realign me and go like, oh yeah, Jesus sits on the throne of the universe. He's the one who I'm living my life for. And making sure that Jesus is in the spot in your heart that he's supposed to be. So that's actually a snippet from my talk in 2 weeks. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. I'm so excited about this, because I think that God has something really cool for us when it comes to relationships. Yeah. Okay. Let's just continue here. We'll just start at verse 15. So, this is the so what part here. So you have received a spirit that makes you fear, that makes you fearful slaves. Sorry. You've not received. I'm like, what? I don't remember reading that. Sorry, I missed a word. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now, I wish I could talk to you about adoption for a little bit, because we just adopted a little boy, and it's just like, it's so cool. But I can't, so. Now we call him Abba, Father, which is it's like Daddy. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, Together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. Interesting passage here, guys. If you're ever having hard times, I would suggest going to the Romans chapter 8 and reading it. I think I suggested this even a few weeks ago. This is it. This is so good. It really puts into perspective who we are. Who controls you? Somebody controls you. Something controls you. Something is, like, the way we're designed, something controls us. There's something that you've elevated that you want, your desire, or whatever, that you're chasing after, and it's driving you. And sometimes it's sinful things, and those sinful things can just destroy us. All right. So let's jump down to verse 31. This is where we're going to end. Okay, I want you guys just to really pay attention to what Paul's saying here. This is some of the most fabulous news you will ever hear as a Christian. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these, the things that we've been talking about? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us? Whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us and is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. I mean, who has more weight there? Jesus, right? I mean, this is awesome. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Okay, if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, listen to this. Because I think after hearing this, you'll want to be a Christian. This is just phenomenal. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Does it mean he doesn't love us if bad stuff happens to us? No. As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Crazy verse. Don't have a lot of time. As we're at the end of it, we don't have a lot of time to explain. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing. What? How much? Nothing. Nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Did you guys catch that? Nothing can ever separate you from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Is that not incredible, you guys? No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Like, if I'm Paul, I'm like, you guys know what a mic dropper is? Where you've just battled in a rap battle, and it's so good you just drop the mic and walk off the stage. I mean, that's what Paul just did right there. That was awesome. That was a mic dropper. It was like, bam. It's like, whoa, that was awesome. You didn't even have to say anything after that, right? Isn't that not incredible? So here's my invitation to you guys. Remember that your identity is in Christ. This is why it matters so much. The enemy is looking to deceive you. It says he's like a lion, roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And he hates God. He could care less about you. He hates God, but he knows God loves you, so he wants to destroy you. And so this is why understanding who you are in Jesus, that Jesus came to save you, that Jesus came to give you real life and life to the full, so important. Your identity in Christ is the most important thing that you have as a Christian. Because if Satan can shake that and make you think that you belong to someone else, other than Jesus, or that your identity is outside of who Jesus is, then you're on a path to some real hardship. And that's his goal. He doesn't want you to believe this stuff that we're talking about. He wants you to be doubting it right now. He wants you to be saying, nah, that can't be true. Well, God just told us this. Are you going to believe the liar? Where the Bible tells us he's the father of lies, his native language is lying. That's his native language. You going to believe him? Or are you going to believe God's word, the truth? That's where the kind of the rubber hits the road, you guys. That this is hard stuff to believe, but man, if it's true, how awesome is it, right? And I totally believe it's true. And I totally believe that when I walk in who I really am, when I kind of live up to who God has made me and my identity in Christ, it changes my life completely. Now, it doesn't make, and he said it right in here, it doesn't mean that you won't have hardship or calamity or things, bad things won't happen. But what it does mean is that Christ will be with you, and none of those things could ever separate you from him. Nothing. None of those bad things. He will be with you through everything. You're never alone as a Christian. Jesus is always with you. All right? If you'd like to become a Christian, we're going to do the same thing. A couple weeks ago, we said, go to your small group. And if Jesus has been tugging at your heartstrings, I know those don't exist, but let's pretend they do. You guys know what I mean, right? You feeling it? And Jesus is like, I want you to be one of my children. I want you to be one of my son or daughters. When you go into small groups today, tell your leader, this is what I want. I want to give my life to Jesus. Okay? In fact, that's one of the first questions in the small group stuff. What does it mean? And so I'm going to pray for you guys. And then you got to tell us, right? Because Elijah became a Christian, was it last week? Yeah, last Wednesday. Man, I totally left this place pumped. Like, yes! We've been waiting for Elijah to become a Christian for a long time. We prayed for him tons, right? If you want to follow Jesus, today is the day. But I will tell you that it's not going to be easy. Following Jesus is difficult. It's not going to erase your problems. It's not going to be like, now I don't have any sadness. I don't have, you know, I'm just like a happy la-la person. It's not going to happen that way. God might heal you of some stuff when you come to him. But what he's offering you is what we've just talked about, that there's no condemnation for you. That you are now our son or daughter and have an inheritance with him in heaven. Like, crazy awesome. That there's nothing that can separate you from his love. Like, this is the offer that God is offering you. And he's extending his hand to you, going like, come to me. I want to give you life. And so that's the call. Think about it. I don't want to just coerce you into an emotional response. I do want you to think about it. If this is the first time you've actually gone like, oh, maybe this is. Maybe just think about it. You don't have to pull the trigger tonight on it. Come back next week. You can pull the trigger next week. Think about it. And even ask God. Okay, God, I don't know what's going on here. But maybe there's something to this. Can you show me that? Can you something? Right? I think God will do that for you. I think he'll be like, I already have shown you. Anyway. Okay, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I know there's some students in here thinking about it, and that's fine. They don't have to do it today. But Lord, I'm feeling it. Like, I am so grateful for my identity. I'm so grateful that I am no longer under condemnation. And when I'm feeling that weight, I can remember verses like Romans chapter 8 that says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I can walk in that truth and that knowledge. And I can believe it. And I can hold on to it when times are rough. And when I'm feeling like I am condemned. And sometimes even by my own sin and my own actions. But Lord, thank you that you've taken the condemnation from us. Lord, what an awesome offer. You didn't have to give us this identity. You didn't have to go through all that pain and suffering for us. And yet you still did. You chose it because you wanted to give us this identity. And so, Lord, that this identity came at such great cost. Help us to understand how important it is, that it really matters, because it was a very costly gift that you gave us. Lord, I just pray for these students who may have been Christians for a while. They may be struggling with some stuff in their hearts. Lord, please confirm in their hearts that you love them, that you just want them to come back, just like the prodigal son last week. You just want them to come back. You just want to embrace them, welcome them home, so that they can resume being the identity that you've given them, son, daughter. So Lord, I just lift up all these students, just ask for your grace just to fall on us. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.